First of all, Acts chapter 27, please. This is an interesting chapter, but for the sake of time, we're going to read just part of it. It's a story that's been quite interesting to men who gloat on the water, because it's a story about a man or a number of people in a voyage on the Mediterranean Sea. And, of course, the story is very interesting. It begins in a very interesting way, and then a storm develops. And we're just going to read in verse 13, please. Acts chapter 27 and verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they loosed fence, they sailed close by, loosing fence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroctagon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up the use helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Now the last verse of our chapter sums it all up. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now I want you to read a few verses in 1 John, please, chapter 5. First John chapter 5, and we read in it verse 9, If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, I want you to notice this, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then I think we'll read just one further verse in Revelation, please, chapter 22. Or rather, chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 8. These are very solemn words, but they're the word of God, the word of God. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this evening. I think likely most of you have noticed that in each of these passages we have the thought of believing. And I'd like to speak to you tonight about believing. Believing God. And I would like to ask at the very commencement of our little message, and I would like you to ask your own heart, do I believe God? Now, I didn't ask, do you believe in God? You know, it's possible to believe in God without believing God. And there's a tremendous difference. I don't think I can overestimate the necessity or the importance of this a matter of believing God. If we were to go back in our Bible to the very earliest days of man's history, we would see man in a fair garden, wonderfully blessed by God, great provision made for his every enjoyment. And but one prohibition given by a loving, faithful, kind, wonderful God. There was one tree in the midst of that garden, and God told man that they were not to eat of it. And God warned them very plainly that in the day that they would eat thereof, dying they would die. Now, that was a very plain warning given by God to our first parent, given to Adam. Now, in that chapter, we have the record of Adam's disobedience, of Adam's sin. And I suggest to you, friends, that behind that act of disobedience, that taking of that which was forbidden, was unbelief. They didn't really believe God. Oh, I know they believed in God. There are many dear people, and they believe in God. That's fine, that's good. And certainly, I wouldn't want you not to believe in God. But I want to challenge your heart this evening. And I would like you to ask your heart, I wonder, do I really believe God? Acts chapter 27, we have a man in a store. We have a man in an all but sinking ship. And I think some of us can imagine somewhat of the terror, something of the concern that filled that man's heart on that occasion. But here's a man, beloved friend, who knew God. Here's a man that got into the presence of God. Here's a man of confidence. Now, we might ask ourselves several questions. What was the basis of his confidence? It certainly wasn't his circumstances, because the ship apparently was about to plunge to the bottom of the Mediterranean. It wasn't his circumstances. It wasn't his companions. Because if you notice back in verse 20, we read that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And so here's a company, beloved, and they're absolutely desperate, if you will. All hope is gone. I'm sure some of us can imagine how they were feeling. And then again, beloved friend, I would say that it wasn't his confidence wasn't based on his feelings. Because in a moment such as that, how could he have been feeling confident? And yet we have this man's testimony in his three words. In verse 25, I believe God. I believe God, he says. Of course, he added, that it shall be even as it was told me. In other words, he's saying, I believe what God has said is absolutely reliable and true and can be dependent upon. I wonder, do you believe God? You know, there are a number of things that we need to believe God about. Going back to the Garden of Eden, Eve had to make a choice. She had to decide whether she was going to believe God or believe that enemy who had come to deceive her. You know, Satan's strategy is very evident in that chapter. Oh, listen, beloved friend, he wanted to get them to question the love of God. I wonder if you're questioning his love. Oh, my friend, no tongue can ever tell the fullness of the love of God for men. For God so loved the world, and not a world of trees, a world of men, that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, beloved friend, it wasn't a world of good men. God says there's none good. None good. None one. It was a world of sinful men that God loved. And oh, friend, I want to tell you that those words are just as true as the day they were first spoken. And I want to tell you, beloved friend, that the God who loved men 2,000 years ago loves you if nobody else loves. If your sin is so great, beloved friend, that it's mountain high. You know, God loves sinners. I'm so thankful for that. Because, you know, I discovered one day that I was a sinner. But Satan's strategy, friend, in the garden was to get our first parents to question the love of God and to think that God was keeping back from them something that was very, very desirable and worth having. And of course, Satan's a liar. He was a liar and a cheat on that occasion. And, beloved friend, he's still in the same business. He's still going about deceiving men and women and young people, causing them to question the love of God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his beloved Son into the world that we might live through him. Yes, God loves. And Satan would have dear men and women today in our world and young people thinking that God is holding back from them things that are desirable. And of course he's deceiving them because the end of his pathway is the way of death. Oh, my beloved friend, I wonder if you believe God. You know, people, some people like to believe in a God of love, but they want to stop there. You know, God is not only a God of love, but he's a God of light. He's a God of righteousness. He's a holy God. And he's a God, beloved friend, that cannot abide sin. or have sinned in his presence. I want you to think of this man's testimony. I believe God. You know, there was a time when he didn't believe God. Oh, yes, there was a time when he was one of the most religious men of his day. I suppose likely one of the highest educated, intelligent men of his day. I believe that this man was one of the great minds, one of the greatest minds that has ever lived on this earth. A mere man. But you know, there was a time when he really didn't believe God. There was a time when that man thought that he could get God's blessing and be in God's heaven through what he did, through the life he lived. And mind you, he was a very religious man. He was a very moral man, a very respectable man. You know, I'm glad he discovered, as God, as so many of us have discovered, God loves sinners. Oh, if God didn't love sinners, there wouldn't be any hope for any one of us in this company tonight. God loves sinners. He doesn't love sin. But you know, one day, this man, as Saul of Tarsus, he believed God's verdict. He discovered, beloved friend, that he was a sinner. He discovered that instead of his face being toward heaven, his face was toward the pit and his back was toward God. I want to ask you now, do you believe God's verdict? You know, friend, God has salvation, and God wants you to have it. God wants you to have it. Oh, listen, beloved friend, God wants to have you in heaven. But the only people that are going to be in heaven are those who believe God's verdict. What's God's verdict about you? You're a sinner. You're a guilty sinner. You're a helpless sinner. You're a hell-deserving sinner. My beloved friend, I care not how moral, how respectable, how honored you may be in this community. I hope you are. But I take God's word and I say from the word of God that you're a sinner. God has plainly declared, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, he doesn't say we've all sinned alike. You know, I was brought up very respectable. I had Christian parents and grandparents, and I thank God for that. And I tell you, they restrained me, and I'm thankful for that. But I was a sinner. You know, friend, there are differences. There are some that are greater sinners than others. But I want just to ask you at this point, what do you think is the great sin that's going to take people to a lost eternity? What would you say? It's the sin of not believing God. That's the sin, beloved friend, that will keep you out of heaven. And I say to begin with, if you're going to be blessed by God, if you're going to be a man or a woman or a young person with confidence as you face the future in a stormy world, in a world that's ripe for the judgment of God, then, my friend, you need to begin by believing God's verdict. Oh, listen, beloved friend, God says there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe God? Or are you believing your own deceived heart? Many dear people are doing that. And I say this man who makes the statement, I believe God at one time, he was trusting in himself that he was righteous. He was doing the best he could. And he was hoping fair to be in God's heaven. But my friend, all the time, he was on the way down to a lost eternity. What a mercy that God stopped him one day. I wonder if God's ever stopped you. Oh, listen, beloved friend, I hope you'll not be willful. I could think of illustrations in my Bible. I could think of a Cain. I could think of a Pharaoh. And they were willful. They were self-willed. They were determined to go their own way. My Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, my beloved friend, I hope you'll stop this evening and ask your heart, do I really believe God when he says I'm a guilty, lost, helpless sinner? I think there was something else. Oh, I'm sure there was something else he believed. Not only did he believe God's verdict, but he believed God's record. Oh, look, friend, it was a glimpse of the glorified Savior in heaven that brought home to the truth to that dear man's heart, that the Savior whom he had despised and rejected was the one who was exalted both Lord and Christ at God's right hand. And he realized in that moment that the Lord Jesus Christ had come in fulfillment of the Word of God, in fulfillment of the promise of God, to fulfill the purpose of God, and to provide the salvation of God for guilty, lost, helpless sinners. Oh, thank God he came. You know, friend, if he hadn't come, we wouldn't have any meeting like this. We wouldn't have any confidence as we face eternity. We wouldn't have any hope. We'd still be without God, without Christ, without a Savior. We'd still be in our sins. We'd still be exposed to the judgment of God. I wonder, friend, do you believe God's record? What's the record? Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for our sins. Oh, how amazing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for guilty, lost, helpless, hell-deserving sinners. And on that cross of shame, friend, that cross of agony, that cross of suffering, in that dark, dark hour, he drained the cup of judgment that should have been ours for eternity. You know, the sin question has all been settled. Oh, I love the old hymn, settled forever, sin's tremendous claim. Glory to Jesus, blessed be his name. No parkway measures doth his grace provide. Finish the work, but when the Savior died. Yes, my friend, the sin question has all been settled. God tells us that. Oh, says the prophet of old, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Again, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, my beloved friend, I wonder, do you believe God's record? Yes, first of all, you need to believe his verdict. And then, my beloved friend, you need to believe the record that God has given concerning the work that Christ accomplished at Calvary. The hymn writer put it, it is finished, yes indeed, finished every job. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? And then again, friend, I believe this man could say he believed God's promise. What's God's promise? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise! This is the word of the living God, my friend. Whosoever that takes you in, friend. Great sinner, young sinner. Every sinner, whosoever believeth in him. Now, it's not just believing about him. I can't remember a day when I didn't believe about him. Well, I wasn't saved. I'm glad I believed about him. I hope you do too. But believing in him, friend, is just trusting him to save you. Trusting the one who died for your sins as your own personal savior. Or receiving him as your savior. You know, I don't like that expression, giving him your heart. I don't like that. I don't think that's scriptural. You know, as sinners, we don't give him, we take from him. We receive him as ours. God has a gift for you tonight. The gift of God is eternal life, purchased by the Lord Jesus by his death at Calvary for your sins. But if you receive the Lord Jesus, God will give you that gift. I wonder if you believe God's promise. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I didn't make any remarks. Time's slipping away quickly. But you remember, if you don't believe God, you're actually making him a liar. That's what we learn in 1 John chapter 5. I don't believe God. You're believing something else, friend. Listen, I've set before you God's word. And there's an enemy that wants you to believe him. And he'll whisper anything into your heart and mind to keep you from believing God and to believe the promise of God. Whosoever believeth in him, trusts him, receives him as Savior, God's word for it, they shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe God. But you know, there's something else. What about God's warning? I wonder if you believe God's warning. It is appointed unto men once to die. Oh yes, death's on our track, isn't it? After this, the judgment. The judgment. Oh, listen, we think of this storm as a picture of the storm of life. And life is a stormy experience in many ways, isn't it? But listen, friend, what about eternity? What about eternity? Oh, listen, God warns us in his word. He tells us that he's appointed a day in which he will judge this world by that man whom he hath ordained, our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who tonight wants you to believe in him, who to receive him as your Savior, is one day going to be the solemn judge of all who reject him, who refuse him. I believe God. We look onward in the pages of the Word of God. And heading that list of those who have their part in that awful lake of fire, the fearful, the unbelieving. I wonder if you're afraid to trust him. I wonder, friend, if you're afraid of the laugh of some friend and you're going to miss God's salvation because of that laugh. How foolish. But then it says the unbelieving. The unbelieving. I believe God. What about you? Will you honestly face that tonight? Do you believe God's verdict? Oh, my friend, what about your sins? your sins will take you down to a lost eternity. Unless they're forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Are yours? What about God's record concerning Christ? What about God's promise? Oh, friend, believe God tonight and rest your soul upon the work of Christ and the word of the living God. You know, if you do that, you'll have a more solid foundation for your soul than you have for your feet. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall not pass away. Oh, that tonight some dear soul might say, I believe God, I'm a sinner lost. I believe God's record. Christ died for sinners. He died for me. He paid my sin debt. I'll receive him as my Savior. God grant it. For his name's sake, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for the simplicity of the plan of salvation. Oh, how we thank thee for loving us. How amazing to think every one of us, guilty, vile, helpless sinners, absolutely worthless, and yet loved. And oh, the greatness of that love could only be expressed in the great gift that thou didst give thy beloved Son. And oh, we thank thee that he came, he lived here in this world, despised, rejected, crucified. And there he died, a king crucified, to save a poor sinner like me. Oh, Father, we thank thee tonight. And we pray that the Spirit of God may reveal that love and loving Savior to the hearts of dear ones in this company, and that they might forsake everything and put their trust in God and the Word of God and rest in the work that he did for them. Grant thy blessing, Lord. We just commend us to thee and give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to take time to sing a hymn. I hope my brother's here. Yes, well, or both of them. 251. And I want you to notice the words of this hymn as we sing it. Again, it's a solemn hymn, almost persuaded. You know, friend, God wants you to be fully persuaded. He wants you to be fully persuaded. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be in heaven. God loves you. Christ died for you. Oh, don't go out of a meeting almost persuaded. Because you see, almost is to miss it, isn't it? Wouldn't it be awful if you were to miss it tonight and miss it forever? We'll sing this hymn 251, Almost Persuaded, Now to Believe. Why not, Tom? Why not tonight? Why not get it settled? Look, friend, the meeting's closing, but at the close of the meeting, if there's any way we could help you, there's so many of us here would be delighted to sit down with our Bible. We can't save you. but we'd love to point you to the one who can. Don't hesitate. Don't neglect. Don't go out almost persuaded. Make sure tonight of salvation. Verses 1, 2, 3, 2, 5, 1.